Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, Pastor Shei Osoyinbi, enjoy the Spirit.
Speak this morning and inspire people to act and to act accurately in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Last Sunday, but I do remember that we looked at the man called Saul and his son called Jonathan. And actually, my emphasis was on Jonathan and the act of faith that he demonstrated when he crossed over to the Philistines to confront them. There is one particular ingredient of faith which we must pay attention to, and that ingredient is called initiative. Tell your neighbor, initiative. Many want solutions but are not prepared to initiate anything. And there is no way you can be said to walk in faith until you take the initiative. Hallelujah. And when I mean initiative, it has to be coupled with wisdom. The Bible says, does any man lack wisdom? Let him do what? Let him pray. Let him ask. Because it is wisdom that will teach you how to take the next step, or what next step to take. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Are you in church with me this morning? It was the spirit of wisdom that prompted Jonathan to step out when his father had put them in a very bad situation in life. Initiative is necessary. And I pray you will start doing that. Many of us, we don't react until issues are thrust on us, until problems are thrust on us. We are reactionaries. They call them reactionaries. These rebels, they're reacting. Don't be a reactor. Learn how to initiate. Learn how to move by the promptings of the Spirit. This morning, I want to share with you another aspect of faith, which is not commonly said again. We have said a little of it, but I want us to look at it again. Praise the Lord. I want to deal with the issue of authority, but I want to look at it from a different perspective. Can you give me Matthew chapter 10? Verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, what did he do? He gave them power. Everybody say power. He gave them power against unclean spirits to do what? To cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Praise the Lord. There are different categories of power, but the word power there is not dunamis. It is actually exousia. Exousia, beg your pardon. Which is to translate authority or permission. Are you with me? When somebody gives you the right, a privilege to exercise certain privileges on his behalf. Amen. He gave them power. But in John chapter 1, verse 12, he said, to as many as received him, gave he power. The power there is not exousia, it is dunamis. Praise God. There is a power to do, but there's a power to act. The power to act is permission. It is authority. Praise the Lord. If you look at many of us and the church in general, very little is said of this. Very little is done about this. You hardly find people bold enough to confront Satan on his stuff. Your faith is not complete. Your Christianity is not complete if you are not casting out devils. Many of us live in our comfort zones. Many of us don't want to be embarrassed. In fact, I don't know what kind of stories we've heard. I've had very bad ones. I've had situations where somebody said he went to do deliverance and Satan retaliated. I don't know why Satan began to retaliate. There's nowhere in the scriptures that I'm told Satan retaliates. Praise God. But there's common, maybe that's common sense. But I don't know why he didn't retaliate against Jesus or the disciples. I don't know. Hallelujah. I was told of a person who went to do deliverance, and before he got to him, his wife was dead. So it was attributed to Satan's retaliation. So when you hear that kind of story, you don't want to step into the battle. When we speak about the battle axe, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing those that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. Why did God anoint him to cast out devils? Hallelujah. Many of us must understand that you cannot be a battle axe until you learn that it is your responsibility to cast out devils. The problem we face on earth is primarily instigated by the prince of the power of the air. This gospel of Jesus, the kingdom of God will never advance until you confront the powers of darkness. Am I talking to you? Jesus put it in this way. He said, when a strong man is in his house, his goods are what? They are safe. Until a more stronger comes against him. Now, when the stronger comes against him, the first thing he must do, he must bind him. Do you understand me? He must do what? Must bind him. He must dispossess him of his armor in which he trusts. Then he can spoil his goods. If he attempts to spoil his goods without first binding him, the man will retaliate. There is no significant spiritual advance that does not entail confrontation. There will be confrontation. Because the prince has been at peace for long. And nobody came to trouble him. Now you are coming. Oh man, you must be ready for a battle. So Paul said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Because the fight we fight is not carnal. Amen. The fight we do is not what? It's not carnal. Jesus gave authority to them to cast out devils. Because in the course of your work, you will confront them. I don't know which of you were to us that called me for sake of secrecy. I will conceal the names. I remember one of them called me and said, Pastor, was doing his NYC. Said, Pastor, I have a demonic case here. What do I do? I said, I don't know. Go and solve it. Go and solve it. He was expected to pray over the phone. I don't have time for that kind of nonsense. It's not my job. It's yours for crying out aloud. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor it's yours. Make sure somebody is talking to you too. Why on earth should we be afraid of any demon in hell? For goodness sake, why? The Bible says Jesus poured principalities and powers and made a public show of him, triumphing over them in it. You know what Jesus did? He disarmed them. That's why Satan does not fight the way he used to fight in the Old Testament. He can't do that because what he used to use has been taken from him. He doesn't have it again. And as long as you don't know, it's comfortable. That's why the Bible says he comes like a roaring. He's not a lion. He comes like. He threatens you. He conveys an impression that what you are coming against is a lion. But when you go behind it, it's the goat that is making noise. I want to look at nonsense. I was told of a man of God many years ago, not in our generation though. I read the story. in the night, I think it was two kind of experiences he had. I can't particularly remember the man's name, but I guess the story was true. A particular night, he woke up, he had a lot of noise in his sitting room. And he got out there, and he saw a demon was throwing his furniture around the whole place. Now, if it were you, immediately you will plead the blood. The blood of Jesus. Immediately you carry your phone. Pastor, there is a demon in my house. And the demon will say, say, if you see your sitting room, I'm coming to your house, your room, your bedroom, I'm coming there now. And I can guess you will fly through the window. There was a brother before our former church. He just had noise. He thought it were armed robbers. He jumped from three-story building. It was God that didn't kill him. You must be mad. I can't understand. Even if they catch you there, for what? Three-story building. I'm telling you, he literally flew out like Batman. Is it Batman or? And as he was coming down, his leg was breaking the louvers. We saw the. He landed and ran. Jumped over fences. We were just jumping. I said it was ordinary. It was ordinary security guard. So I came to check why the light was on in church. But the man came from Benin, so. No, Benin boys. I read the cartoon many years ago. Some guys were driving into Benin City many years ago. And the guy was telling his friend, they wrote, "Welcome to Benin City." He said, "Well, look, in this town, robbers don't use guns, they use bombs." Or very bad. So Benin people are used to violence. So I guess immediately he heard those sounds, his mind went to say, "Yes, I'm done for. I can't survive this." And he thought the best thing was to plunge. I said, "Where is your understanding of spiritual authority? Where is your understanding of wisdom?" So many things. See, look, these things you learn are basically for you to use in your day-to-day living. If you take decisions that look somehow, I have to wonder whether you learned anything in church that particular week. Any case, he survived it, and we thank God. But some may not survive it. And the foundation and the reason for that is basically a phobia or a fear for the supernatural. I don't know why Christians are not being encouraged to understand the dynamics and the workings of the supernatural. It's actually the second realm in which we live. We basically live in that realm without many of you knowing it. Praise God. Paul said, "If you are in the Spirit, walk also in the Spirit." If you are what? In the Spirit. Walk also what? In the Spirit. And you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Hallelujah. So when Jesus called them, he gave them permission, he gave them to go ahead, go cast out those buggers, like my brother would say. You know my brother? SKD. You don't know SKD? To steal, to kill, and destroy. It's the favorite language of my senior brother. Don't mind if he was in the military, so he likes this warfare story, the warfare man. And he was one who told me he has to do a vigil in the night so that we can kill, can fight those demons. I said, "Demons, don't." I don't know who told you that demons fight in the night. Night and day are alike to them all. Hallelujah. The way to fight them is not carnally. You fight them with spiritual weapons. And what are the weapons? Wisdom is one of them. The second is understanding of your authority. It gave them authority to cast out devils. You need not be afraid of devils. When you meet them, there is a practice we used to engage ourselves with when we're doing these things. We'll start talking with devils. "What is your name? Where are you born?" "Well, and how on earth do you think Satan will ever tell you any good truth?" "He was born a liar. That is his nature. It's not a second nature. That is his real nature, lying." Then they will start one fabulous story. Then when we finish deliverance, say, "Man, it took us 12 hours. Deliverance said, "Le, ogo no." Then the other lesser mortals will be looking at us like thin gods.
Just 12 hours. Like, wow, I'm giving deliverance 12 hours. Then they wow. Then there was a way we used to work in school. Then you know we have this bole kind of deliverance. Foolish children, we didn't know a right from our left. But then we tried. We're better than your generation. At least in our own generation, we're doing it. You, what have you done? All we need to hear is that somebody has a demon problem. He's going to sports center. My friend, come follow the sports center. Kappa. We can do it all night. But I say, but it won't let you see. So don't make fun of me, you know. Be sorry for yourself too. Praise God. He gave them the authority. So why are we not using the authority? Because somebody has told you, no, don't let's talk about demons, let's talk about God. You can't, listen, they talk more about devils than about God. Go and read your Bible very well. It was only the epistle that Paul was opening us to God. Hallelujah. But Paul, after he said that of church, he was facing devils. He was speaking, he said, how I fought beasts in Ephesus. Who do you think was fighting? He was fighting the Diana, the prince over the region of Asia. This was the beast he was confronting. And how he was confronting it, he was teaching men. You think it's easy for men to hear the word of God? No, it takes warfare. But the warfare had been fought in the closet before it began to teach them. So when he was teaching, the thing was going into their heart. Amen. And those guys left the school of Tyrannus and went to the whole Asia and propagated the word. It's warfare. But not the kind of warfare we fight. Then you roll up your sleeve. Then you... Have I told you the story I experienced when I was in NYC? I was from Coppers. We were all Coppers, so. I was not there when they got the sense to trouble. They went to go and do evangelism. In the place of evangelism, they met a woman. She said she had ectic. Without discerning, without asking the Holy Ghost, they laid hands. Did you not hear about the lay hands on the Lord? No, man. On the lay hands. Manifestation started. Then they ran away. Then the president came. Everybody came. They now carried themselves to one brother's house. And the brother was living a life of compromise. Was in a compromised position. So when the man was there, I command you fast to come out. The woman just walked up to him and issued him one dirty slap. You talk to me. How dare you? That was the end of the deliverance. The problem is, if you live a compromised life, you don't have the moral authority to stand. That's the problem with any of us. We don't live upright lives. That's why you can't talk. Because truly, demons can, I don't know how they pick it. They say, you, things sort of an injury. If it is brother, so, I can listen. But you. So, I won't be embarrassed over time. People, after back, don't expose me. Just leave me as I am. Hallelujah. But the battle of the righteous is as bold as a lion. If you are righteous, why should you be afraid? Of course, we must have understanding too, though. Have I told of some brethren that were casting out devils? And the devil asked a question, said, where are you standing? And someone said, well, I'm standing on my 2 feet. The demon issued dirty slaps for being foolish. Now talk to one brother, said, where are you standing? The one said, I'm not standing, actually, I'm seated above. It was that brother that cast out the devils, because they recognize those who understand what they are doing. The reason why you can't do it is because you don't understand. Because when I believe ask last question, you can't answer it. Now, the demon now ask you questions, start looking like a Dundee United. Am I talking to you? Praise God. That's why you need to grow. You need to grow. You can't be static. This battle can't be fought and won if we remain babes. It is our destiny. It is written. These are part of things that are written. You must confront them. And you must cast them out. That is their destiny too. To be cast out. Am I talking to you? Why then must you be afraid? So I gave them authority. The Bible says at the end of the story that when they came back to report, they were elated. They said, my, we've never seen things like this. Demons were obedient to us. they will always be obedient. One thing you must know, you see, this is the concept you must understand. The Bible says where the word of a king is, there's what? There's power. Understand this. Look, if you understand the concept of authority, you will understand the concept of faith. That centurion said to Jesus, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. Well, was a centurion and was also a Gentile. Amen. Said, but I recognize something, that you are a man of authority. That you need only speak the word. And I, being a man of authority, understands that when I speak to my soldier who is under me, I don't need to get a club and club him to death before he obeys me. Praise God. Everybody in the military understands authority. Hallelujah. It's only Nigerian police that does not understand authority. Have you seen policemen before? They are so disorganized, so unruly, so undisciplined. A policeman will see the guys, you can't try that in army. You can't. Even a cadet, if a sergeant sees a cadet officer, he was complimenting. I was told of one incident that happened in Oshodi. A cadet officer was passing some soldiers. They just stood at the roof. It was a small boy, but with a cadet officer, he had this. And the boy passed. And they did not pray for it. The boy just turned around and shouted at them, come to attention! And they, sorry, sir. That's military. Amen. And having said that, Jesus looked around and said, I have not seen this kind of faith. What was the faith inside it? Understanding of authority. You don't need to bang him. You don't need to push the head. Kappa, 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 fall down. They don't need to fall down. Where the word of the king is, there is power. Says, speak the word, and shall be done. I said, go, it is done. And same hour, the servant was healed. Can you stand somewhere and issue a command, and you know that the command will be obeyed? The problem is that many of you jest. Many of you speak on serious words. So when you are called to now speak, you yourself can't trust your words. That's why Jesse, look, it's not that God doesn't want you to enjoy yourself, but you see, when it comes to spiritual oppression, you will carry that stupidity into it. Amen. Say what you mean, I mean what you say. Don't play Oyo. So the man of God has said, Pastor, Oyo Niwa. It's not everything we say for pulpit that we mean. I said, there's no hope for this generation. Hallelujah. When minister of God tell you they don't mean what they say, then there's a problem. If you are going to operate in spiritual authority, you must learn how to mean what you say. If you say, I am coming tomorrow, then be there tomorrow. Then when you speak to demons, they will know that this one understands what he says. He's not a jester. He doesn't play with words. Let your words be few, the Bible says. If you don't have anything to say, for goodness sake, keep your mouth shut. Bro, I your first speak. You say, I don't have anything to say. It's not a crime. If you have anything to say, you don't have anything to say. But if you have something to say, please feel free to say it. Amen. But make sure, that's what I said, let your words be seasoned with what? The salt. That can minister grace to the hearers. If there's no salt in your words, we turn. Hallelujah. Am I talking to somebody? So, these things have their effect in the things of the Spirit. Now, remember when Jesus Christ now needed to, after the mountain of transfiguration, and he was coming down, and the Bible says he met disciples with some crowd of scribes and some people, a lot of commotion was going on, and the scriptures, that was Mark chapter 9, I think, yes, Mark 9, that story is in Mark 9. And then Jesus Christ was asking, what was going on? Why are you embarrassing? Actually, they were embarrassing his disciples, the remaining nine, including Brother Judas. Hallelujah. He was there. They had just finished the crusade. You remember the crusade of, they had just finished starting crusades. And so, but now they had this situation on their hands, and they just could not solve the problem.
So the man who had the problem came to Jesus, the father of the child, and said, look, I brought my child to your disciples to have them solve this problem. But they could not. That's very instructive. They could not. Not that they didn't want to, but they could not solve the problem. And Jesus made some certain statement that was very profound. He said, how long will I stay with you, O faithless generation? O faithless generation. The truth is that they were not expecting them to solve the problem. They could not. And we did the exam for them, and your disciples that you were carrying around failed. But it was not the problem in any case. Praise God. The truth is that the world is saying to us, we brought our problems to you, but you could not solve the problem. Have we been able to fix the problems of the earth? No. In fact, we have added to it. And when you look at why we have not been able to fix the problem, it is because of lack of faith. Faithless generation. I told you that one of the ingredients of faith is initiative. And one of the problems of faith is fear. What will happen if this thing does not work? What is your business for crying out aloud? He says, this I shall follow them that believe. In my name they will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will. It is you that will heal them. You do the laying of hands. Leave him to heal the sick. Now let me warn you, please. When you are casting out devils, please don't lay hands on demon-possessed people. It is wrong procedure. Eh? It is what? Wrong. You lay hands on those who are sick. You don't lay hands on those who are demon-possessed. For those who are demon-possessed, you cast them out by the word of your mouth. You stand and say, you foul spirit, jump out there. You need this vessel. Now. Yeah. Say you are okay now. Yeah, come. Fill it with the Holy Ghost and set him free. Amen. Don't go and lay hands. Because wrong procedure. You lay hands on the sick. Am I making sense to you? What did I say before I went there? Were you following my thoughts? What did I say? Sasha, yeah? The disciples were faithless. All of, you didn't blame them, but they were resenting us. Faithless generation. Now, what was the lack of faith that they exercised? When they went back to Jesus, they said, tell us, why could we not cast him out? Have we cast out others before him? What was different with this? Now, number one, Jesus was not with them. Remember, he had gone to the mountain. He was not there. Their confidence level went down. How many of you always sometimes wish Jesus was with you? I wish Jesus was there to Kakosoro, one-on-one, Kali. Or your pastor was there. Now, suppose you are in a crisis. What is your default position? You look to the most ginger brother. Oh, yeah. Is that not what we do? Is that not what we do? No, supposing you and I are walking alongside and then there's a problem. Immediately, you will expect pastor to take the initiative. Now, pastor is not there. You're your own. Okay, I wish pastor was here. And he said he was going to come back. So come back. What kind of person is he? So it was in that atmosphere they were doing deliverance. Are you with me? Akasha tried to. Let us just try. Whether it will work, it will not work. They were not confident it was going to work. Because the manifestation before them, they had no antecedent. The boy was throwing his head by fire. He would jump up and throw his head inside the water. And jump up. And the Bible says, and he pines away. You know what I mean by pine? To pine away. He just began to have, those of you that are bigger than me in size. Praise God. Imagine somebody very, very fat. And he's begin, right in front of you, his body is reducing. Don't you think you should run? I don't know whether that was what happened, but then he pines away. The boy was losing weight. He was like an Ebola victim. Praise God. So I guess they must have seen all this, but because Jesus was not physically with them, they had no confidence to cause that deliverance to take place. If you are locked in a position and there is no brother or sister with you, will you stand your ground? Many of us draw strength from numbers, draw strength from fellowship. But the day you are alone, can you take your stand? There was a man who served David. I don't remember his name. One of the mighty men that served David. The Bible said they were in a field of lintels one day like that, and the Philistines came upon them, and everybody ran away. And that man took the sword in that field and slew 300 men. He took a stand. The man did wrong. He didn't say, go with Jojo. You see, no, so you know what he was doing? There was no time for that. The man took his stand. Paul said, I haven't done no stand. Many of us move stand. At the slightest opportunity, we are on God of heaven. He that fights and runs away. It didn't come from the church. It came from Babylon. Those who are from Zion don't run to fight another day. They take a stand. You must learn how to take a stand and say, thus far have you come? You come no further. Many of us do not know, and it may be strange that you don't know, that Satan is more afraid of you than you are of him. He is really afraid of you. People talk about potential. There's potential in you. Look, there's no potential in you. Praise God. You are empty than empty. You are nobody. You are no jack. Oh, my niece said, no nothing. Nothing is something. That nothing said no day. There is zero minus zero. Equals to minus zero. Praise God. That is spiritual mathematics. You can't find it in the textbook. Amen. Are you with me? What gives you mouth is the Holy Ghost. If you have the Holy Ghost on your inside, oh my God, demons are in trouble. But you don't know it. They know it, but you don't know. Now what you are carrying is the most fearsome spirit in the whole universe. Holy Ghost is the most, fearsome. It's the most terrible. That Holy Ghost that is gentle like a dove is not a dove. He is the original lion. The original. The original fire. He that men must dread. Why did Jesus say, if you sin against the Father and the Son, they can forgive you? But when you sin against the Holy Ghost, then there's no forgiveness. Not now, neither in the that means the fight will be on forever and ever and ever. It's a spirit that does not forgive, it will forgive. The Bible says this is the spirit that demons remember, that they will have an encounter with you one day. And the Bible says every time they remember, they tremble. And you think what you are carrying is not. It's not sufficient. You don't need any other thing again than that. Hallelujah. What you have is more than what you need. Say, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, including everyone that is within. One within is a multitude. Please, look, the whole story of the Bible are types of the realities you and I stand to face. Hallelujah. There are times when Israel had to fight armies that outnumbered them by great multiplications. Now you look at them and say, ha, with this view, then there's no battle today. And the man of God said, don't look at them. He that is with us is more than he that is with them. Amen. Can you see, can you understand that is a reality of fact? When you stand before this, you don't need to buckle. I was told of some sisters many years ago, and this is encouraged my faith. They were going for a crusade, and that was the time the Ogboni people were doing their own crusade. The Ogboni henchmen occupied the whole road, and they shut down the city. I don't know where it happened in Nigeria. Someone just told me that story, but I can't really figure it out. I was not able to verify it. But it's good for today's story. Hallelujah. And these three sisters were going for a crusade. So they had this, their t-shirt on. Everybody was running for these Ogboni people. These three sisters, they didn't move. They were just walking towards them. And they were like, Emalo. They didn't even answer them. So when the two camps met, the sisters stood their ground and they were looking at them. Then the sisters turned their back. They had an inscription on their t-shirt. They wrote, "Jesus is Lord." And they turned back and faced the men again. The Oriyawo now asked them, they are open, they will let them pass. And the three of them walked through them and went their way. What will be your testimony? In the night, when there's a cracker, in Jesus' name, all of you, I bind you, all my enemies. This my enemy mentality has castrated us. It castrated us and made us fearful men. Many of the prayers we pray are driven by fear. I don't want you to kill my child. Hey, Baba, Badura for me. My child, the villagers are looking for my child. Who told you they are looking for your child? All of them, with all of them together, God blind them. Someone said, "Have a good eye." That eye, God blind it in Jesus' name. You don't understand. Oh, I didn't finish my story. That man of God, when he came into this sitting room and saw the demon, he just said, "Oh, so you are the one." Nonsense. I went back to sleep. The demon rearranged his upper back. He didn't consider it. You only time for Google nonsense. When your senior brother comes, let me know. I'm going to sleep. You think demons are not intelligent? And they are. That demon will never come back. That deceit was too much. You see, what people don't understand, you see, you sometimes ask, you see, I don't do deliverance on Sunday because people don't understand this. Many ministers don't understand. That's why I into it. We need to be careful, though. Satan likes attention. If we start deliverance service here, I can promise you, all those who are demon possessed will be coming. Not because they want to be cast out, but because they want to weary us. And there are people who will be coming, just come and see. Like our demonstration on Michelin. That becomes the show. Jesus, Pastor, when he was talking to this man, and they all began to converge together, people were rushing there. Because Jesus was asking the father, "When did this happen?" He said, "When he was a baby," and they were conversing. But people were coming together, they were rushing. It was not for showmanship. So immediately he told him, "Leave this." And Jesus rebuked the spirit. "Say, you foul spirit, come out of him." And then the demon demonstrated, went up, went down, bagger. Now, when you see those demonstrations, now just not going to a frenzy. "I said, come out! I said, come out!" That's what we do because we think they didn't hear us. When that's the manifesto, you think, understand? Then they will take you and drag you for 12 hours. That's why we're doing to 12 hours. And we're proud of ourselves. Very proud. The thing, actually, deliverance costs time. It costs energy. But at the same time, you need not go through the long process if you have understanding. He doesn't move. Once the word has gone out, he doesn't return to void. He just stood there and was looking at him. The guy went, he just stood there and was watching him. Because the word has gone out. Then when the demon was very tired, Jesus my sorrow, more come on, say anything more. Okay, mama, love I. Amen. They said the boy is dead. They said he's not dead. We carried the boy and gave it to his father and walked away. Left them to be wondering what was going on. Hallelujah. Am I talking to you? Jesus
has disarmed the powers. You must understand that. But they occupy positions that need to be assaulted. And those positions, you find them in different strata of the society. They are basically working in the heart of men. That's where the conflict takes place. Hallelujah. That's where the conflict is. So every time you come against a person, you should be able to recognize which demon is working in a man. It's easy to look at a lady who is fornicating, you know, the spirit of immorality is upon that. You must have the antidote for that. Praise God. You must have the weapons for that. You don't go there and say, the Lord is my shepherd. When you are dealing with, that is not the right scripture for that one. Amen. I don't know. Do you understand what I'm saying? You must know which sword to wield. You must know which particular weapon to bring out. Praise the Lord. That's why you need to be thoroughly furnished. Many of you don't, I'm very sure many of you don't read Old Testament Bible. New Testament, go on, okay? You can't go far without an understanding of these things. Praise the Lord. Am I saying you should start a deliverance ministry? No. All of us are called to do it. Say, this sign shall follow them that do what? That believe. He did say, this sign shall follow them that have deliverance ministry. Amen. And this is one problem I see in the days, in our days, we are caused a lot of problems. When somebody has a little faith, not anointing, faith, because this thing is faith, it's not anointing. Am I talking to you? What is it? Faith. So if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, be thou uprooted and be thou cast into the sea. If you believe and you don't doubt, say this thing shall be done. Is that not what the Bible says? Amen. So it's not anointing. But they equate that with anointing. They equate that what we call it. Then now see the brothers, now say, Pastor, I'm going to start my own ministry. The Lord has called me. Because you cast out some few demons to some few people. And you think that is calling? They are going to kill you. In fact, Satan has already got you. You are an higher level spirit has confronted you. You know, they call me starters. How many of you know to be a world champion, you have to fight different fighters. And they all have different fighting skills. I say you understand. Eh? Another one, higher one has got you. The higher one we really fight that is really tough are those princes of darkness that control commerce, that control arts, that control philosophies, that drive civilizations. Those are higher level demons. Those were the demons that Paul dislodged in Ephesus. Am I talking to us? Look, we can go into it. Yes, we have done well when we go out for evangelism and people get born again. But people get born again and they are still controlled by the powers of darkness. How do I know? The people that brought their magical books to be born in Acts of Apostles, they were brethren. After they leave church, they go back and say, Baba Oshonga, Ajuba, Emma Bino, Alo Church, Akolo, Paul Neo. They do that a lot in Benin. So, to my friends, I'm sorry. What is Benin for me today? I don't know. Benin people are wonderful people. Only Archbishop Bidaosa has the technology to deal with them. Benin people are terrible human beings. They are terrible. They are not ordinary human beings. They are Benin. A Deeper Life pastor went from Akure many years ago to take over from Benin branch of Deeper Life. And I think the second Sunday he preached against all these idols and all these things and everything, and then he commanded any church member that still worship demons to bring their idol. More than 2/3 of Deeper Life members came and submitted their demon. Bini? Oh, this is the ministry. Only apostles can enter that place, not pastors. A friend of mine said, there are no babalawos again in Benin. I thought maybe the gospel has eventually succeeded. I said, no,
They have all become pastors. All the babalawos have become pastors. They now wear suits and have their church and they're doing their babalawo. How many of you can recognize babalawo in suit? I do want to cast out devils, so you can't discern them. I told you of we were watching a program on television, cable network. A very prominent man of God in the Pentecostal circle. I demonstrated it before. He said, if you pray and God does not answer you, if you pray and there is no answer, say this altar will answer you. Pray and church. I said, Kai, where is God? You are finished. If God can answer you, is it altar that will answer you? That means the power that is answering the ministry is there. Until you come on. And that goes to you. Amen. Look, there are shortcuts. So. There are shortcuts. But I cannot understand how you will go and meet the devil to receive authority and power to do the work of Jesus Christ. It doesn't make sense. Except only people in that place are all serving the devil. A friend of mine told me, he said, Pastor, that was about 4 or 5 years into the ministry. When he was asked, how many are you now in the church? I said, we are about 20. So after 4 years, 5 years, across that vacancy one bed, we're not look at here. Human beings, they are more terrible than goats. It's not easy to gather them. Human beings, except God arrests them, you can't gather them. So men don't go through the discipline of the gathering by the help of the Holy Ghost. So they go to the devil and call what they call a war room. In 2 weeks, the church has increased. When you see church grow like that, ask questions. Ask questions. How did you come about it? Don't blame me. I know the 24 laws of success. Don't blame me. Praise God. But it's just my own philosophy. Amen. That if it is God, he will bring you. If he does, it's about what he gives, we gather. If he doesn't give, why am I gathering? Hallelujah. What defines me is not the number of members I have. And I don't relate to you with whether you have car or you don't have car. It is the grace of God inside of you. If there's no grace there, I don't recognize you. You're a Gentile. Who are the girls? We were talking that day. We know the meaning of a Gentile. Praise God. And he gave them authority to cast out devils. I'm asking you to be presumptuous. No. I'm asking you to recognize the privileges we have in Christ. Why should demons be afflicting your family? Why are you standing there and allowing the devil to have a free way in the life of one of your siblings? Why are you not taking a stand? Now, we can give excuses for whatever we are in. But listen to me. Years ago, I read in this book, Angels and Assignments. And the angel of God told Pastor Buck, he said, if there is any person that is born again in a family, he said that family is favored in the sight of God because of one person. And because you have the word, you have the privilege to come before the throne of grace and obtain mercy on their behalf. And as you can obtain mercy, you can also obtain grace. You can also obtain judgment against the forces of darkness afflicting your family. What is wrong with us? You do not understand that you are the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant went into the house of Obed-Edom, and the Bible says, while he stayed there, they were blessed. You are a blessing. I hate when I go to a church and all they pray about, you know, as you go this week, somebody will bless you. Why do you not pray that when you go this week, you will bless people? Why then must they bless you? What kind of mentality is this? You guys, we are not going to finish this work if we continue this kind of mentality. Why can't you tell people when you go, as you go outside, you will bless somebody? When you meet them and God will give you money to give money. Why must they give you money to you every time? Are you a beggar? We have a beggar spirit. It is more blessed to give than to receive.
So if you go to a church and they pray that prayer, don't pray it again. Pray as they are going. Just say, God, just I thank you. You will give me resources to be a blessing to people around me. Everywhere I go, I will bless them. And I can tell you, when you become a blessing, everybody wants you. They want to, they always be calling, bro John, how are you? We just say, we should just greet you. You are a blessing, you get there. It's not when you call, sir, I just say, come on, you are a burden already. Hallelujah. Freely have you received, freely you should give. Carry the mentality of a giver. Carry the mentality of a blesser. Carry the mentality of a victor. You don't back down in the face of the enemy. Hallelujah. God will keep you. God will go with you. The angel of the Lord will support you. In the name of Jesus. Please don't be presumptuous. Don't walk. It takes the Holy Ghost. But please don't say, let me close with this warning. Presumptuousness is one of the most terrible things that can happen to a believer. Because you now have authority, you now go to Elisha garage and look for that madman. I say, come, wow. I don't want to cast it out, right? You can match you, but please take time to think and pray. What they call permission. See, now, listen to me. As a believer, you have power. You know what they call power? Me, I've not eaten this morning, sir, but it's not that I cannot carry this stool. I have the power to carry this stool. But the issue is that, have I been authorized to carry this stool? That's where you now, we find that one in the place of prayers. In the place of praying in your closet, the Holy Ghost will start dropping instructions in your heart. That man in Elisha's garage, I want you to go and minister to him. Now you have been given permission to exercise authority. Praise the Lord. Don't be presumptuous. Don't walk into battle. It's a different thing if battle comes and meet you, but it is better. That's why, you see, we cannot forget or put away prayer and the secret place. But that's where the Lord will talk to you. That's where instructions will be given. That's when commissions will be released. But you run without being commissioned. Don't forget the story of that young man that Joab went to send somebody to go and give report to David. He said, I will go. He said, don't go. He said, I will go. David, Joab said, run, go. The man ran, greet, go to David. Oh, my king. Yeah, Joab. David said, stand aside. Because David knew he was not sent. You can have the capacity to run, but please be sent. Do you understand the message today? I have challenged you to run, yet I'm holding you back. Can you understand the paradox of this message? Be wise. Be wise. Be wise spiritually. I'm not saying be wise. Pastor Dika, wise. Wise. I said be spiritually wise. If any position you see a situation that is happening, Holy Spirit, pray. Holy Spirit, do I have your permission to engage? Even in the military, they obtain permission. Fighter jet pilots will call back. Do I have permission to engage? The man will say, engage. Then they will engage. He said, don't engage. They will back off. Even this Boko Haram, they were asking some soldiers. They said, look, the helicopter goes to reinforce, give ammunition to Boko Haram people. They see them fly. And they were asking, why did you shoot it down? They said, we don't have the authority to shoot. Until we are given authority, we can't shoot. So they see it and they keep quiet. Knowing that the guns and bullets they are carrying there is what they come and use to kill them. That is the life of a soldier. So if you don't have permission, don't do it. Remember, Jesus could have cast out all the devils in the world. They didn't give him permission to do it. Are you with me? Blind Bartimaeus would have been a blind man forever. Jesus passed him first. When Jesus passed him, he heard him shouting, but he didn't hear. Not because he didn't hear, but because he was commonly talking with the Holy Ghost. Do I have your permission to heal him? When the Holy Ghost didn't say, he kept on going. And the man kept shouting. And he said, Lord, do I have your permission to heal him? Until he was given permission, he didn't turn. This is permission.
Yes, he has all power, but it's permission. So you must learn how to obtain permission from he who sits above the circles of the earth, whose name is holy. When he gives the permission, engage. Please, with all joy, engage. Don't fear. Don't fear. But when you engage, when you are concerned, Otimbo. They said, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know, but who are you? His authority. Jesus has obtained permission to deal with them. And he dealt with them very well. Paul, too, dealt with them because they gave him permission to access Ephesus. They gave him permission. No other person. He was speaking about, are you okay? I'm going beyond my time. I said I was going to finish the last time. I have not finished again. But let me finish this one. I'll finish this one. Am I forgiven of my trespass? Thank you very much. Paul spoke to the Corinthians. He said, I did not go beyond the measure that was allotted to me. Every of us have measures allotted to us. You must recognize your measure. Are you with me? If you are not, if it has not been measured to you, don't go there. How many of us have ever cut grass before where we were in secondary school? The labor prefect. When they do like this, what are they doing? Measure. If you fire it to somebody's plot, they will say, go back to your own plot. That's how life is. What have you been measured? Within the confines of your measurement, operate there. But walk under authority. Like that man said, I'm a man. And it's curious to note. He didn't say, I'm a man that have people under me. And I under somebody. No, he said, I am under authority. Then I have people under me. What we talk about this morning is very pertinent. Satan recognizes rebels when they step forward. But when they meet a man who's under authority, they know they're in trouble. Hallelujah. So it's for your good if you learn to be a servant. It will be good for you and for every one of us. So don't see it as me cleaning table, me cleaning something, me cleaning that, me cleaning. No. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. If I is joyful, if I am sad that I had to contract the cutting of the grass of this place out, because it was an opportunity for you all to learn how to cut grass and have some blisters as testimonies. Amen. This is what we see in Jesus' name. Can we rise on our feet and let us pray? Father, we thank you. Many of you are fearful. I want you to deal with the fear again. You are fearful. It is lack of faith when you show weakness, when you show fear. Some of us, we are presumptuous. Some of us lack understanding. Whatever it is that you need to deal with in prayers this morning, I want you to deal with them in prayers this morning. I want you to pray to the Father and to Jesus. I say, I've given you authority. Lord, what do I do with the authority? Many of us have thrown away opportunities that came our way because of fear. Many of us have heard horrible stories. But you need to have a change of heart. God needs you to change. If you are going to be a battle axe, then you need to change your heart, your attitude, your inclination to those things must change. Oh, ask the Lord, bring me to balance. Many of us are not balanced. The problem we heard in our generation, we were not balanced. And then we move from that edge to the other edge. But God is helping us. We need to come into the place of balance. If the kingdom of God must come, you and I must be warriors. One of the things that will be required of us, we must never be afraid of devils. You can't be afraid. You can't be afraid. As the Lord, deliver me from the fear of the enemy. Every fear that is in my heart, I relinquish them tonight, today, this morning. Teach me. Like you taught David, he said, he teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Ask the Lord to teach your fingers to war.
Teach you. Teach your hands to war, your fingers to fight. Teach me, my Lord, I pray thee. Let the Lord teach you. You need the Lord to teach you. You need the Lord to build in you confidence. Wherever you find yourself, you will take your stand for the kingdom. For the kingdom is looking for men and women who are violent. Men and women who will not run from the enemy. Men and women who will take their stand in righteousness. Who will be bold as lions. Men and women of wisdom, who by wisdom will engage the enemy. That the wisdom of the holy ones. Men and women who can pray and receive authorization and receive permission to engage the enemy, even in his own backyard. Holy Ghost, one will put the thousand to flight, the Bible says. And two, we put 10,000 to flight. Two, we put 10,000 to flight. Two, we put 10,000 to flight. Oh, you will walk as a team. But if it needs be, you will walk as an individual. Holy Spirit, in your wisdom. Holy Spirit, in the economy of your program. Holy Spirit, in that which has been planned and written about us, I pray for grace. For your children to walk into it. For your children to fulfill their callings and their destinies. Their destiny is to come into sonship. Their destiny is to push the kingdom of God. And push it forward. This is their destiny. They are the kingdom. They are the people that must finish this work. They are the people that must push the enemy back at the gates. They are the people that must disgrace the enemy and put him under your feet. I pray, Father, for your grace. I pray, Father, for your unction. Oh, that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jehovah, the Spirit of the Lord of the hosts will rest upon them. Oh, you will turn them from weaklings into valiant men and women. They will become valiant in battle in the name of Jesus. No longer will they be afraid of the enemy. No longer will they be afraid of the taunts of the enemy. No longer will they be afraid of Goliath and them, oh, that despise them, that insult the name of the God. They shall be jealous like David was jealous. They shall respond to the kings and say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who dares to defy the armies of the living God? They shall be men and women who are taught by your Spirit. There are men and women who will be unleashed in this days. Oh, you said, from the mouth of babes, and suddenly you have ordained strength that you may still the mouth of the avenger. I pray, oh God, that these men and women, oh, who are babes in your hands, will raise praise. They will raise warfare praise. Oh, they will praise. That will bring joy to your heart. That will unleash the powers of the heavens. They will unleash the powers of creation. They will release the powers of redemption. And they will save this broken world. They will save this diseased world. They will save this demonic world. In the name of Jesus. No longer will they be afraid of their enemy. No longer will they be intimidated by the enemy. Oh, I pray for a fresh unction. I pray for a fresh capacity in the name of Jesus. Oh, Makai Hebrana Sante. Egerimra Uzino Jan Indrea Sante. Papadi Bredi Ezeteyembe. Kopoko Satemba He Kapalia. Oh, Father, I bless your great name. I bless your great name. Oh, Jemon Fabanindras Kapados. Repa Romus Vintelian Azante. Reign in me, glory, Lord. Reign in me. Lord, is a prayer this afternoon. Reign in me. Sorry, Lord. Reign in me. Lord, captivate my heart. Activate my heart. Let your will be done. Establish here your throne. We bless you, Father. Let your will be done. Lord, we'll pray. Reign in me. Sovereign Lord, reign in me. Lord, we ask you to reign in us. Lord, reign in us. Reign in sovereign Lord. When Jesus begins to reign in your life, you become a battle axe. You become an instrument of judgment. You become an instrument of deliverance. You become an instrument of redemption. Everywhere you go, you are a blessing. Everywhere you go, life goes with you. You become a dispenser of life. You become a dispenser of mercy. You become a priest of the Most High God. Oh, I pray that God will reign in you. That Jesus will reign in you. That there will be no conflict in you between God and the world. That He alone will reign. In the name of Jesus. I want to pray for anyone who is there that wants to surrender his or her life to Jesus. Except he reigns with you, you are none of his. He needs to reign. You can exercise authority until he begins to reign. If I have anyone in the house that wants to surrender his or her life to Jesus, I want you to please all eyes closed, raise up your hand. If there is anyone like that in the house, you want Jesus to reign. You want Jesus to be Lord. You want Jesus to have His way. I will pray with you. I will pray with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For all of us who are here this morning and we have surrendered our hearts to Jesus. Again, can you rededicate it? Can you rededicate your heart again? Can you dedicate your heart and your life? Let us ask for the blood of Jesus to wash us. One of the greatest things that makes it possible for us to stand in the day of judgment, to stand and judge wickedness, is righteousness. Paul said, when your obedience is fulfilled, you will avenge. You will avenge all disobedience. You will avenge all disobedience. Oh Lord, I pray. Maga is an over valibrin esetaja. Valibrinusevalista la cacique non saibenasta. Efica pusefalibrin asatelia non santaia. Gelinosa. Vingredosa vinasa kira zazakia. Calibro lose que malana neazatae. Efica losi fiti desetaia cadasta. O vahusefalarize d'afrinosa tekeste. O valibrinosinasta. Some of us have problems with compromise. Compromise. I keep hearing that in my spirit. Compromise. Compromise. Every time you make a prayer, say, Lord, I won't do it again. Just shortly after that, you will compromise. There's a weakness in your soul. There's a weakness in your heart. Oh, you need to be strengthened with might in your inner man. Oh, you need to lift up your hands and ask God for strength. Ask God for the grace to say no to unrighteousness. Ask God for the grace to say no to temptation. Ask God for the grace to say no to the allowing of the devil
and destroying and all the things that the enemy has been using to weaken you. Oh, I pray for you that in the area of your weakness, God will strengthen you. Oh, the strength of God will come to you. That I'm asking and receiving strength for you. Oh, not to fail in that area again. That area of your weakness. That area of your temptation. That area that the enemy has gotten you. I speak deliverance to you in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, whosoever the Son of God shall make free is free indeed. I say, be free in the name of Jesus. I say, be free in the name of Jesus. Everywhere, in every area, I speak life and strength in the name of Jesus. No longer will you be a prey. No longer will you be a prey. No longer will you be bound in that area. In the name of Jesus, where it was a casting down for you, you will now say it is a lifting up in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give you praise and glory. Blessed be your holy name. Because we pray together in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.